Good morning, friends. Oh my goodness, we have got folks calling in from all over. We've got Brigitte calling in from Georgia with her coriander and hinoki. We've got Cindy from Montana, Jacqueline from Festus, Montana with On Guard and Adaptive. Janet from South Jordan just rubbed her neck with peppermint. That's a great way to start the day. Wanda from Alabama used lemon and water, celery seed and green smoothie, and citrus bloom plus took her LLV. All right, let's give it up for LLV, baby. Good stuff. Bridget from Henderson, Nevada. Becky from Illinois, using her Cheer, Neroli, Forgive, and Anchor. We got Lee from Lake Tahoe, using her Holiday Peace. I love it. Never a bad time for some holiday joy or peace or any kind of holiday goodness. Andrea from Omaha, Alicia from Columbia with her grapefruit peppermint. I love it. Okay, Alicia is asking, where do I find Facebook Live or Love? Either way is good. If you go to facebook.com/shareoilsuccess, that is our Share Success Facebook page. And I'll put a link to that in the, in the chat. So that's not what I'm trying to do. Zoom, where are you? Okay, here we go. So yeah, normally we're posting a link on Facebook over to Zoom so people can ask their questions live. But that's a great question. Oop, that was to Pamela. Sorry. Panelists and attendees. Let's try that again. And by the way, we would love for you to post your comment. Because this is a webinar, then not everybody can see your comments by default. And so you have to choose all panelists and attendees. So we would love for everybody to be able to see everybody else's comments. So if you'll just change it to all panelists and attendees, then everybody can see it. Hey, you have a face.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. I've got my celery juice, my oils diffusing, and I am ready to go. So
it's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a good day.
Well, we've got folks calling in from all over, and we've even got Facebook Live going. So I'm just going to mute out while I pull that up. So you got any wisdom to share with us today?
Oh, I've got some wisdom to share today. No, what I really am thinking about sincerely is all of a sudden it's the end of May. Like, have you noticed that? Like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Is it just me, everyone? But it feels like May went by in 3 seconds. Maybe not. But for me, it felt like that, where April and March seemed to be like 10 years each.
Yeah, 97 May days then, in March alone.
Dog years.
Yep.
I was like, wait, what's happening in these months? But I feel like May has definitely felt really, in comparison especially, quite quickly. But here's what I do love about it. We still have a few days left of the month. And I love every time there's the end of a month or a beginning of a month. As you know, we've done this a few times, is really kind of just looking at inventory of where am I? What am I up to? What do I want to create? What do I want to complete as I think about a new month? But every time, again, I'm in the last few days of a month, it does lead me to think about what's, you know, either whether it's project or completion or goals or business, but just thinking about what do I want to wrap up and what do I want to put some energy and intention to? So that's kind of what I'm thinking about this morning is, wow, it's the end of May almost. And we're in the long stretch, you know, the last stretch of this week or this month, and thinking about what do I want to create? What do I want to achieve? How do I want to complete the month? As well as thinking about, you know, the horizon of a new month and thinking about summer and just different goals, right? Like when seasons start changing. So that's kind of what's up for me. I don't know. How about for you, Andy? What have you been working on or thinking about?
Yeah. I love those thoughts, that's one of the things that you've really been a linchpin for me and Natalie over the years, is just helping us take a look at what matters most, you know, like really what am I spending my time and life energy on? Mm. Because it's so easy to just slip into routines and not even, you know, look up and say, hey, which road are we on? You know, which ladder are we climbing? So I'm super grateful for that awareness that you've brought to us. I'm seeing in the comments, Andrea's focused on Founders 2.0. That is a great thing to be focused on. So last night we were meeting with a prospective new builder, and it was really refreshing to be able to look him in the eye and say, you know, with Founders 2.0, you have a legitimate opportunity to create whatever you want to create. In the US market, you know, which is the most mature market doTERRA has, right? It's the most seasoned. And some might say, oh, it's been, you know, the most marketed to, I guess. I don't know what that, you know, some would say saturated, but I mean, we're so ridiculously far from saturation. But it just felt so great to be able to look at them in the eye and say, listen, the sky is the limit. This gentleman happened to be a 29-year-old guy. And I'm like, you know what? There are not a lot of 29-year-old guys in doTERRA. So if you just went after guys in their 20s, it's an open field. I've got one team member who is running for Founders Club, and you know what they're doing? They're going after minorities in America. So they're like specifically targeting people from, you know, like other countries and running Facebook ads, and it's working like a charm. So it's just, it's so refreshing to have this, like, to just be able to have this awareness that the race is open to any and all. And just because the market is 12 years young, like, it doesn't mean that the field is closed or the opportunities are gone. So anyways, it's always good to meet with new prospects and new builders. Like, there's just keeps you young again, right? So
good. There's so much possibility all around us all the time, you know?
It's true.
And a lot of it truly has to do with our mindsets and our focus and our energy. There's a book, I was just listening to part of my morning study this morning, something I haven't listened to forever, The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale on YouTube. Y'all look that up. And thinking about that has been just listening to that and like the power of our thoughts and what we plant. And he's just reciting what we know, the law of the harvest, right? Like what we plant and focus on in our thoughts, literal seeds, they become, you know, the fruition of that or the blooming of that. And so for positive or negative, but I think there's also a book I want to just, is it like called Acres of Diamonds? Does anyone know?
Totally. Acres of Diamonds. Yeah. We've got a video on it. I'll post it in here.
Thank you. Because Acres of Diamonds just reminds me always about how much possibility is always just right around you and literally in your own backyard. But your life has to live up to your thoughts. Like, your brain is an evidence-seeking organism. I think that's worth writing down. My brain is an evidence-seeking organism. So if I tell my brain thoughts like, oh, it's saturated, everyone already knows about it, you'll reinforce that. And vice versa, if you're thinking like, there's possibilities everywhere. I'm meeting new people every day, every week. You know, God or universe guide me to who I can support and serve. And, you know, when you think about it in that light, you guys, it's just the power of mindset. I know many of you have been joining me with Mindset Makeover the month of May. And we've just been reinforcing some of these true principles about the lens of life and what you're seeing and how it's what you're thinking and believing shapes what you're experiencing and the power of choosing to tell a new story. And so I just invite you, similar to what Andy was saying, is just being aware that there's so much untapped possibilities, even though more people might know about essential oils, like it may, meaning it's on the peripheral and it's awareness or even on their radar, they might have one or two oils. People truly being richly educated and in converted, there's still so many people that, man, we've just barely tapped into the beginning. But again, if I'm walking around thinking thoughts like, oh, you know, this, that, or the other, it will just simply live up to it. So choose your thoughts carefully. I think it was Elizabeth Gilbert. Yes, she's the author of a great book called Eat, Pray, Love that they turned into a movie. Some of you may have read or seen that. But she talked about the same similar thing. And she said, choose your thoughts like you choose your clothing, right? If you're going to get up and go somewhere or, you know, a specific gathering or outing or even just getting ready for the day, but like how you literally choose something to wear each day, she's talking about being as intentional with your thoughts. And so just thinking the thoughts, your affirmations, what you're choosing to focus on. So Andy, I love that because I think anytime we all can come back to the awareness that, wow, there is so much possibility around us and we have the ability to choose that, man, I love that empowerment, that empowered thinking of, wait, I'm the gardener of my life. What do I'm going to choose to think, focus on? Because what I focus on expands or gets bigger. What I focus on, I see more of out there, right? And it's just like your thoughts, and thoughts you think repetitively are the equivalent of a magnet, right? You could just see your brain as like a magnet, and it's like, oop, I don't want you to be paranoid or overly concerned about every tiny little thought, because thoughts are like clouds, you know, they just pass through. And sometimes we think a random thought or a judgmental thought or a thought that we're like, wow, I don't want to attract that. It's the thoughts you focus on repeat, and thoughts that are emotionalized that are quite magnetic. And so it's thinking about those things that, you know, intentionally how that shows up for you. So yeah, I love we're talking about this.
So good. So, so good. That Acres of Diamonds book is really thin. So like if anybody's looking for a really quick personal development read, you could probably read it in an afternoon, easy. So it's a classic. And so that's why we made a video based on it back in the Mito Pro days.
Yes. Is that what it is?
So good.
Mito Pro, is that what the link is?
No, it's on YouTube. So I just put the YouTube link in there. I don't know what the feature part is at the end. So should we jump into some coaching today?
I'd love to.
Awesome. Well, if you're on Zoom, we'd love to have you raise your hand and we'll bring you on live with your questions. You can do that with or without video. This is a judgment-free zone. If you're posting any comments in the chat, go ahead and do that to all panelists and attendees. And yeah, we're here to serve. So we've got a question in the Q&A box. Andrew's asking, what did the Facebook ad say? Well, this is a great, great question. And I think a powerful thought exercise for everyone who's on the call. I would invite you to practice writing an ad, whether you run a Facebook ad or not. I have found that there's so much utility in just going through the thought process of putting down in words, what is it that people are looking for? Like the people who are looking for me, what is it that they're seeking? What's the unmet need? And I promise you, like as Natalie and I have done, we've spent so much time and money on branding and ad writing and running ads. And I would say the biggest benefit by far has not been the people that we've connected with. It's just been this exercise right here. So I'm not gonna tell you what the Facebook ad said because I want you to have the same experience of getting clear on who am I talking to and what's the message that resonates with them, right? What is the unmet need that they're looking to fill? So
yeah, I love that.
Anything you want to add to that, Tiff?
No, I just love it. I think it's great practices being able to share like your messaging and what you're attracting and what you're putting out there and how you sum that up, right? Because a Facebook ad makes you get real succinct, which is what I love about that practice. It's like you don't have, you know, a 3-hour window or even, you know, 30-minute window. You have seconds to like get some language into some succinct manner, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, we'd love to, if you're ready for some coaching, we'd love to serve and support you. If you're on Facebook Live or here with us on Zoom, we'd love for you to join us and love to help support you this morning.
So we've got Dr. Brigitte who raised her hand. And can you hear us?
Yes, I think that was a mistake because it reloaded my screen. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. Well, do you have any questions for us?
Well, yeah, I could ask a question. You know, what I'm having trouble really inspiring my team. It seems like such a long shot to be a founder, right? And so how do we get past that belief system or help them work through their own belief systems of not being enough and it being too much work, so to speak, or an impossibility?
Wow, I love those questions. Tiff, do you want to lead out or you want me to?
I'll follow you today on this.
Awesome. So how do we breathe belief into our people is the question that I'm hearing, right? Like, cause it sounds like you have the belief, you see yourself and in, you know, in a founder's position, but maybe your team isn't quite there yet. Is that right?
Yes.
Awesome. Welcome. Where are you calling from?
From Atlanta, Georgia.
I love it. I went to high school in Auburn, just a couple hours away.
Yeah.
So how do we inspire belief? I mean, we could spend easily the entire hour on this question. I love the what Natalie always says, meet them where they are. So I'm not going to stop a random stranger on the street and say, hey, do you want to spend the next 18 months building this doTERRA business with me full time? It's going to change your life. You can make, you know, $80,000 a year with Founders Club, right? So inspiring people to believe, it starts with understanding where they are. So, and every team member is going to be at a different place in their development journey. So the more clear you can be on where they are and where their blocks are, the better you can help them, help inspire them to take the next step. When it comes to founders, I wish I could take everything that's in my brain and in my heart and just like download it to people's brains and hearts, because the people who are going to finish top 200 in Founders 2.0 are an entirely different group of people than we've seen win the incentive trips. This is, you know, this is not the top enrollers who are going to win these positions. So I can say those words, but it's like, I know what that means, but the point is that founders is all about raising leaders. And so I love Tiffany's way of questioning, like, I'm just curious, you know, how would it feel to you to finish as one of the top 200 founders? You know, I'm just curious, what would it feel like to you to celebrate three of your team members becoming a founder, and really just not going in with a hard agenda, just being in that space of curiosity creates such a beautiful space for them to step into and really start to visualize. I mean, so many of us gave up on dreaming decades ago. You know, life taught us, go to school, get a job, you know, check off the checklist, you know, get married, whatever, and then you'll be, then you can be happy. And we stopped dreaming about whatever that, you know, that childhood dream was. We chose to say, it's not for me. And so the greatest gift that you can offer to your leaders, to your builders, even your customers, is to dream again, to dream of what life could be and what is possible. So again, it's, you know, first going to where they are, connecting with what's real for them, and then opening the door a little wider and helping them see this founder's race is unlike anything we've ever seen before. And because of that, it's, yeah, it's just, it's such a level playing field. So, and breathing belief starts with you, right? The more you believe, the more contagious that is. The more certainty you bring, the more certainty they pick up. So, those are a couple of my thoughts. Tiffany, I'd love to hear yours.
Yeah. So I think, you know, similar what Andy's saying is each person being individual, right? And to asking them great questions and where they're at. And just thinking about, I think for me, it's such a lesson in my mindset and openness and possibility is, for me, the mindset is, if I'm already going to be working my business, why not be open? If I'm already going to put the time in, why not be open to it being bigger or better than what I can imagine? And again, I think some of it, love, is helping them realize the life skills opportunity is regardless of the outcome, right? And again, a lot of times as humans, we don't want to pursue anything unless we have a guaranteed outcome. We don't want to fall in love and put our heart out there. I mean, as someone who's single and dating, I can relate to that. There's times where you're like, nope, unless you know this is the sure bet, don't do it. Well, that doesn't work that way. You know, it's like, unless you know you're going to be a founder, I don't want to put in the effort. It's this all or nothing thinking, which is really out of fear and risk aversion. Versus I look at that as like, hey, look, if you're already going to be putting effort into your business and putting effort out there, you're already into the essential oil education. You're already part of that team light that wants to share goodness and empowerment with others. Why not be open? And I would ask some of those questions is, why not at least be open to the possibility? And then for me, again, into questions, and this is all in the five gates, and we've woven a lot of that into all the share success and empowered success, is I would be asking questions like, you know, I'm curious, again, as Andy modeled for you, you can ask anything you want with leading out with that or that bridge. I'm just curious, how often do you, you know, allow yourself to go for things, or vice versa? How often does fear hold you back? Or how often do you take yourself out of the game and the opportunity before it even gets started, really? Is that something that you've seen, you know, and just realizing that this is just an opportunity to look at how you do life. And there's a statement, and I'm not sure to give this like realistic, like, okay, is this true all the time? I'm not sure about this statement, but I remember one of my mentors used to say the phrase, how you do anything is how you do everything. Now, I don't know if I put an asterisk about that it's like literally everything, whatnot, because I believe as humans, there's certain places we have well-developed strengths and underdeveloped strengths, right? And certain ways that we show up. But I think it's worth looking at that if you're the kind of person that's willing to say, hey, I'm willing to put myself out there. I'm willing to go for things. I'm willing to practice and to try, right, in various areas of my life versus, hey, I'm playing it safe. I'm playing it small. And so for me, this is, if anything, is regardless again of the actual outcome of if you're a founder or not, is, are you the kind of person that engages with possibility? And are you open to that, you know? And what would that mean to you or look like to you, or what could that feel like? And what do you want to, how do you want to journey? You know, and it's just the willingness to even be open to it, I think, is that it's a massive mindset life lesson going on here, is how you engage with it. If will you engage at all with it? You know, and so I think seeing it from that perspective is the willingness to say, hey, the time is going to go by regardless. Most of, or, you know, many of these people will be working their business already at some level, right? Varying degrees of commitment and focus on that. If you're already going to be on the field, you might as well, like, maybe push and, you know, go just a little bit deeper, right? Kind of thing is my mindset. So I would be transferring all those things we just talked about to my conversations and asking those kinds of questions and just floating some of that out there. It's like, what if you're just open?
I love that so much. And to the question of, you know, is it going to be hard? Like, I'm worried that it's going to be too hard. I would ask, what are you currently doing? Like, are you currently hauling buckets? Like, are you currently, I mean, do you have another opportunity that's better than this one to create residual income? Because in my opinion, hauling buckets for the rest of my life, that's really hard. That's the harder choice. Like, I'm actually choosing easy to work, you know, really focused and really hard going for Founders 2.0, as opposed to hauling buckets the rest of my life. So.
Yeah. What do you think about that, love? Anything? I'd love to have you chime in and share, like, what are you thinking and some of your thoughts about it?
I think that's, I like that way. I think it's really powerful. You know, sometimes it's coming up with which questions to ask and how to get deeper with people, especially kind of as a newer leader, right? And it's like finding out more about them. And really, yeah, there's, I mean, to me, there's no other amazing opportunity out there that falls in the mission of helping people around the world and helping people live their lives really to its fullest and without hauling buckets in the end. And just my journey has already been amazing in the few years I've been in doTERRA. And it's just, you know, instead of sharing my story, is asking them that curiosity question of like you're saying, I'm curious, you know, if you have this other opportunity that you're already doing, or what do you see for yourself, or how does it feel? That one was really powerful too, especially because I just did a webinar thing on being present moment yesterday, and it was all about the feel of it. And so how does it feel to celebrate those three people? How does it feel? And then they can really see it for themselves versus me telling them, oh, you're totally going to be silver and you're totally going to be gold. Having them feel it, how's it going to feel to celebrate your team, puts them in that moment. And I think that's very, very powerful. I love everything that you've said. Thank you.
Yeah. And I love we're having this conversation because we can all relate to it, either individually or we have people on our team that we can see, you know, that connection. And I love Katie's comment in the chat box. She says, I was totally whelp, you know, like bummed with no enrollments this month. And she said, and then I realized, stop being dumb. This is her language. You're 10 days into a 1-year marathon, LOL. And I was just like, I love that. Is, you know, again, how often we're like, oh, well, it didn't happen overnight. I didn't have this massive win. It's just really about, can I be faithful to the process? Many, many years ago, I'm going to just share a short little blurb here. But many years ago, when I was still corporate employed, I worked for the Rich Dad Poor Dad brand, which I assume most of you have at least heard of the book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, or, you know, the cash flow game. And it's really training you how to think about financial education content. And I just, you know, you think about from that perspective, one of the things I remember when I worked for him and worked for that brand is we had this small team meeting, right? And I was this little sales team leader of about 12 sales reps, and Robert and his wife Kim were in town, and a woman named Sharon Lecter, who initially was a co-author on some of the books and things. But anyway, we were in this small meeting, and again, we were a corporate environment, right? We're in a corporate boardroom, And so just as a perspective of context, and Robert had just been speaking somewhere in a convention in, I think, the South, and he'd shared the stage with an archbishop. His name was Archbishop Ash. And Robert was restating this, you guys, and this, I think I shared this before at some point on this call, but we've been together like 8 years. So I think it's okay if I repeat myself occasionally, you know, because that's been a hot minute that we've been together. Well, one of the things, as he was sharing and recounting this story, that then this statement, you guys, was on my own refrigerator for 8 months following this meeting. So we're in this corporate environment, and Robert, quoting this archbishop, says, "The process is more important than the goal." I think that's worth writing down. The process is more important than the goal. And he went on to say, he said, because it's who we become in the process that matters the most. And then quoting this archbishop, he said, "God will give you glimpses of your greater glory so you can endure the pain of the process." And I was like, again, we're in a corporate environment. He just said God, and he just spoke some truth into the room, that we will have those insights. We will have those, you know, spiritual moments. We'll have that, those vistas, right? And then to endure the pain of the process. And then Robert went on to say, so the million-dollar question is, and then to make sure we were really paying attention, because again, we were training people education-wise of financials, and himself as a very successful businessman, he said, the million-dollar question is, can I be faithful to the process? That's a million-dollar question right there. And that question was on my refrigerator. And if it resonates with you, I invite all of you, put it on a 3x5 card or a big or a poster size, put it on your ceiling, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your bathroom mirror, put it as your text wallpaper, is can I be faithful to the process? Because that's so true. Like whether it's our health, our own personal health goals, wellness goals, if we want to complete a writing or creative project, if it's going to founders, if it's, you know, nourishing a great relationship, is can I be faithful to the process? And that the process is more important than the goal. And so the goal is founders 2.0, but the process, like I'm saying even more, is like, who are you going to become? This time is going to go by anyway. Wouldn't you like to see what you're made of? Wouldn't you like the opportunity to touch the edges of your possibility? You know what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't you like to taste what that tastes like? To be like, I'm fully engaged. I'm in the process. Man, look at who I'm becoming. I'm all in. When we're all in, we're like, there's this new level of being awake. And it's just so invigorating. And so again, for me, when I think about founders, I think so much about these same principles. You know, Andrea said earlier, it's a marathon. You know, Katie said the same thing. And it's like, yeah. But, and there will be points you want to stop and start. There's going to be points, you know, I went on a really intense hike on Monday with some good friends, a couple hours, and we hiked up to this waterfall. And the last like 20-ish or more minutes of that hike is like being on an intense stair stepper, right? And it's just straight up these rocks and the mountains to get to this thing. And there were points where I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, fell in the burn. But of course, it's like, I just have to focus. I literally was practicing anything I'd coach you to do is I would look up, and my friend Brittany, who'd been there, she's like, well, it's just around the corner. Well, she said that like 8 times, guys, you know, it's just around the corner. But what I had to coach myself was, is when every time I'd look up and see how much further, and I was like, whoa, we're still a ways. Nope. Just put my focus, take the next few steps, right? Just the next, I was in the process, and eventually you do summit. And then you have the vistas and all of the things. So I just think for all of us, again, that for me is such a million-dollar question. It was a life-changing meeting where, again, for almost a year following that meeting, that was on my refrigerator to remind me. And I appreciate the opportunity to share it with you because I think it needs to get back on my own refrigerator, right? You have new goals at different seasons. Is can I be faithful to the process? So I would take that love to your team and individually and as a team is just sharing, you know, some of these thoughts we're sharing here together today is that Founders Club is the goal. It's an opportunity, but the real gem, the gold is, yes, of course, that will be so sweet, but the goal, that's the waterfall, right, is the process and the the ascension and the growing that happens as we're in that experience. So thank you for asking this question. I think this has been so good for all of us to come back to some of these principles.
Amen. Thanks so much. All right, we've also got Mandy on. Mandy, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Hi, how can we serve you today?
Hi, Mandy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I have a question that I kind of feel weird answering because of I've been doing this journey for like 3 years now, and I'm discovering a whole lot of things doing Diamond Club that have just brought up things in me and with, like, you know, the state of the world right now. And I have found that just recently that I have some sort of block with, like, following up. So, like, helping people out, I have no problem with, you know, like, helping them find solutions for their problems and everything like that, and giving them oils or samples or whatever. But then the follow-up, for whatever reason, I am like, I have a whole list, like 40 people's names that I need to follow up with that I don't. And I do it all, like, according to, like, how the back to basics, or, you know, like, setting an appointment and everything like that. And then I, like, freeze. I don't call them back. And there's something in there with me with that. And it's a big enough thing that I need help. Like, does that make sense?
And yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, I'd love to hear your thoughts on
the
follow-up and how to hack follow-up.
Yeah, so Mandy, what's the feeling you have, or the story you tell, or the resistance you're feeling?
I don't really know, because I don't, like... For me, I feel like it's just, you know, like, either they're going to want more information or they're not. And most of these people I do life with and I see, like, every day anyway. So I don't really know what the story is. I'm sorry, I can't answer that clearly.
That's okay. Because a lot of times when we don't do something we know we should do, right, we call it a block, is it's often as there's a thought or there's a story or a feeling attached to it. So if you could get clarity just with me for a moment, ask yourself, what are you afraid of when you follow up? What's the fear? Because that's another word for resistance.
I don't know if that's like, I don't know that there is a fear. That's why I think that's why it's so hard for me to work through, is because I feel like I want to help people out, so I don't see that there is a fear, but knowing that there's a list of names that I haven't followed up with, mm-hmm. then I see that there's something here that I can't work, that yeah. I'm not able to work through. Mm-hmm. So,
is there part of you, what are your, if you, because typically what this is about, and it may not, so try this on and don't absorb it if it's not for you.
Okay.
But like what you're saying is, I see a lot of these people all the time anyway. And there might be an assumption on your part, like, they would ask me more. If they wanted more info, they'd let me know. But a lot of times our fear and why we don't follow up is we're afraid of being perceived a certain way. And what do you think that fear is? What do you think the fear of being perceived is, what? If we're following up and contacting someone and nourishing and bringing it up more and more, that we're the one to bring it up versus waiting reactively for them to, what's the fear of how we're going to be perceived?
Okay, so a little bit of that does come true with me, like, because of a lot of people I help in different aspects of life, like, because I'm a teacher and a coach and, like, in our missions organization and stuff like that, like I lead a lot of people in different aspects, and so maybe some of that, you know, like, mm-hmm. But for me, like, I like to honor my word. When I'm like, oh, I'll call you back, then I like to think that I generally call them back. But for whatever reason, with, like, samples and mm-hmm. stuff like that, like, I don't. And maybe it is because if I see them so much that I think, well, if you're interested or if you have questions, then you would just totally ask mm-hmm. me, because I see you all the time.
Right.
Like, we talk on different things.
Mm-hmm.
so I guess I do tend to avoid it because of I don't seem pushy, or I don't want them to be like, oh, it's not about all these other things. It's just about doTERRA.
Yeah, exactly. The fear of being perceived, right? That you're being salesy or that you want something from them versus like you're already in, like you're saying, established relationship, you interact regularly. And so the fear of being perceived a certain way is absolutely running what this resistance is about. And so it's just being conscious of it. And then seeing, like you already said, is I love to help people. And so if we could just rewire your thinking to say, my follow-up calls is just a form of me helping people. And again, when we're question-based, my friends, in our sales and in our leadership, the questions do the work. That's all. And that you lead in and lead out, right? It's just question-based. It's, hey, I just wanted to follow up, wanted to check in, see how you're doing. Is there anything I can do to support you? Are there any questions that you have? Are there any things that have come up for you? Have you tried the oils? Or are there any, you know, anything that's going on with you or your kiddos? I just want to make sure I'm here, I can support you. Or the oils you've already purchased, want to make sure that, are there any oils in your kit you haven't opened yet or you're not using very frequently? And I'd love to brainstorm with you a few ways to use them, right? Is you just let questions do the lifting, right? And that way it's not about you, quote, selling anything where you're like, hey, let me tell you, is I love to say, is anything you want to tell someone, think, how can I ask it in a question, right? And okay. So you let the questions do the lifting for you. And that way, and then the questions guide the conversation and how deep and so forth. And if people are like, hey, you know what? I'm good. And you go, great. Well, if and when I can help you go deeper, further, something comes up for you, I'm totally here as a resource. You know, you can just let me know. And if someone says, yeah, actually I would. I have this bottle of this or that, and I'm not sure. And can I take this internally? Or now that the allergies are out, is there anything I can take for allergies now that everything's blooming here or whatever? You see what I'm saying is, you're just letting the questions, you're going to ask some questions that help them guide you. But a lot of times when people avoid doing follow-up calls, or sometimes even, and again, these are established relationships versus cold calls, right?
Yeah.
With non-established relationships. But even I find people have more resistance sometimes with established relationships because they're like, I don't want to rock the boat in the friendship. I don't want them to feel like, hey, I'm only being your friend because I'm really trying to just get something from you and trying to sell something. And so that's the fear that's often then like, yeah, I should do those follow-up calls. I'll check Instagram first. Or, you know what? I'm going to just trade out the laundry. I'll get to that after. And then after there's this email or this thing. And then you're like, why am I not following through? Because a lot of it again is not even aware. That's why we're just bringing the awareness up, is this like this tension between, well, they're already my friend, they know, and I'm afraid of being perceived as trying to sell my friends things, or that I'm trying to just take this relationship a certain way. And so knowing that for yourself really, really makes a difference. And just reinforcing that and reminding, and again, letting the questions do the lifting for you as you're following up, as you're connecting, right? And just checking in. And here's the thing, I think we touched on this last week, I believe it was here, and forgive me if it wasn't, if it might be a different coaching group, but we were talking about how often people give you lots of invitations to ask questions related to health of any kind. Like, hey, oh, I'm just exhausted, or these allergies are killing me right now, or gosh, I didn't sleep so well last night, or gosh, that barbecue yesterday, man, I'm paying for it today, that indigestion, you know, whatever. It's like people are regularly sharing things for their emotional health, their anxiety and stress, their sleep, their nutrition, their allergies, all kinds of ways that if we're just attuned to it, that naturally in conversational flow, you just say, oh, well, I'm curious, have you tried this, and this for your allergies? Do you have those oils in your kit? And if not, I'm happy to sample you some and you can see if that helps. That's helped me. Or gosh, yeah, I hear you. I sometimes don't sleep well myself, but then I tried this combo of this, and this, if that's something you'd like to hear more about. And it's just organic sharing, because people are regularly sharing. They're posting about it. They're talking about it, from health to stress to sleep to, you know, frustration to indigestion to all kinds of things that really make, you know, that difference. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Good stuff. Anything else in that, Mandy, that you feel like, does that feel like we're in the right space for you to help you with some awareness?
Yeah. And it's funny because of like a lot of it, I kind of felt surface level that I was okay with, you know? But then just asking the questions, you know, like more help to discover their answers instead of my answers. And that's really what my heart is anyway, you know, like, so that's good. You know, like,
Yeah. I love that. So thank you for asking that. And then I think there's something I want to add into this that Gwen has in the chat box where she says, for me, it's that I don't want to commit. I'm afraid that I'll have to hold their hand and take care of them forever, right? And time, and I want people to find the answers and so forth. I think one of the things I was recently, I was at Andy and Natalie's home recently with some friends in town who came through Utah, and we spent a little time together in their backyard. And one of the things that her husband was sharing that he had taught a class and enrolled people. He goes, I didn't know what I was doing, but I just used the book, right? The, is it called Modern Essentials, Andy? Or is it, no, it's called, forgive me, what's the name of the book?
Essential Life.
Essential Life, where he was talking about modeling that. And so Gwen, I would utilize that even when some of you become these masters and you know every oil and what you use for it for three or four different uses. I still think it's wise, even when you're at expert level of essential oil education, to use your tools to model this, right? That you go, you know, you're thinking about, hey, let me show you how to use these tools. And Gwen, that helps me is that way, to your point, that people can find their own answers. But feeling, helping people feel like they're supported and they belong. How many of you have read some of Brené Brown's work, right? I think probably a lot of you. And I really love a lot of her work. Well, a lot of, she was talking about, I think it was in her book, Braving the Wilderness, that belonging is a clear core need. You know what I mean? Like, we all have that need. And so if we can create that, Gwen, remembering that, like, hey, if people feel like they belong here, that doesn't mean they have to be held the whole time. It's that we get to, though, for a season while they get some roots, right? It's just like my little cute garden. I ate strawberries, you guys, out of my garden yesterday, my first little strawberries of the season. Now, Gwen, these were strawberry plants planted last year that have returned. But it's just like, oh, you know, that little sweetness. And but as they get roots, I got to nourish that and then, you know, continue to. And but in the beginning, there is a difference. It's like having a newborn versus a 10-year-old, is that newborn needs a lot more attention, yes, initially. And then we help empower them to make choices. And then they get to a point they can, you know, dress themselves. Sometimes quite, you know, interesting fashion choices when you let the kiddos dress themselves, you know, or eat what they, you know what I'm saying. But I love that you were sharing that too. But Mandy, thank you for bringing this up because, you know, again, I think for all of us, we can know an answer, but then we don't honor or follow through on the answer. Like all of you already know, watching this live or listening back to the recording on the podcast, all of you already know that follow-up is part of success, right? Did you already know that before you got on here with us today? Yes. And you probably knew it 8 years ago when we started doing these calls. It's one of those universal things that, oh, I need to follow up. And again, like we were sharing earlier about being faithful to the process. And so knowing that we go, oh, okay, that's right. I'm going to need to follow up. We already know it, but it's like, why am I not following through something I know I need to do? And it's often because there's a fear somewhere involved, right? Or some form of resistance. It's not always about fear. But a lot of times, especially in established friendships, the fear is, I don't want to be perceived as being salesy. I don't want to be perceived that way. So thank you for sharing that. Andy, anything that you want to share or add to what Mandy has brought up today?
I just want to thank you, Tiffany, for your persistence with the questioning, you know, like helping all of us get curious about what's blocking me, right? Like what's actually the fear beneath the inaction. And that is such a crucial paradigm to go into, and it's so critical for us to all get curious about like what belief is actually creating these results. And it reminds me of the quote by Joseph Campbell, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek."
So true. So good. And
what I hear when I, what I think when I hear that is, like, there's a gift for you in this, Mandy, and there's a gift for every one of you who chooses to stop and get curious and say, you know, what is it that's keeping me from following up? What is it that's keeping me from going for Founders 2.0? You know, because in that questioning, there will be a gift. And I'm going to be bold here and say, it is the one thing. It's the one thing that matters most. It's the big leap, right? It's the, this is the stepping stone to catapult you to the next level. So it's not just like a good idea. It's the big idea, you know? So Joseph Campbell, he's got some truth bombs, and that's my very favorite one. The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. So that's the gift that follow-up has for you, Mandy.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. I love that. And I think I love Bonnie said in the panelists chat box, she says small steps consistently create momentum. Also, she recommended, and we've talked about this book before in the, she's also reminding us of the power of the book, The Slight Edge. I'm a really big fan. I do love Janice asks, can you repeat those questions to ask help lead the conversation? As Andy gave you some guidelines too, you can find all the recordings at the Share Success, the Facebook group, you can find it there. So there's some good things there that you can, you know, definitely come back to the recording. Also, is some of the things that I'm modeling for you comes directly from my training called the Five Gates of Closing Sales, which is in a course on my website called the Sales Mastery Kit. And anyone that utilizes the code Goddards, all caps, so it is case sensitive, all caps Goddards at checkout comes up at 50% off. And we just do that for their team, right? Or anyone, whether you're directly on their team or not, if you're here listening, you're welcome to access that. And it's disc 3. It's a 4-disc kit and it delivers digitally, but that you, again, use that code that will help you as a resource where you practice this. It's a practice of mastery. That's why I called sales mastery, is learning how to navigate over and over again, that you want your questions to do the heavy lifting for you. And so it's not about you and that you're trying to sell or convince. You're just asking good questions that then lead you. And people buy emotionally and they decide logically. Right? And it's important that you have both questions woven into your sales conversation, into your leadership conversations, your mentoring sessions, is that you just let questions do the lifting. And you as the guide, right, the facilitator, you're just asking the questions, and based on how they are sharing, then you lead the conversation in the various paths, right? And so, yes, that is, again, the code is Goddards, and it's on at tiffanyspeaks.com under the shop tab. So that's something that supports you. Now, we also have a really important question by our girl Julie says, not a coaching question, Tiffany, but I love the lipstick you're wearing. What color and brand is it? Yeah, I busted out the hot pink for y'all today. I'm feeling some like vivacious pink. That's a MAC lipstick, MAC brand, and it says this, their satin brand. It's Pink Nauvoo. So P-I-N-K, Pink N-O-U-V-E-A-U, Pink Nauvoo. You know, so there you go. Yeah, not Nauvoo, Andy, like Nauvoo, Illinois, but N-O-V-E-A-U. Really important. I also love one of theirs is called Even Brighter and Hotter. That's more a little bit tiny. It's a little more neon-esque called Pink Pigeon is another one. But I love the pink, this Pink Nauvoo. And now some people might say, redheads can't wear pink. Like I've met a couple of friends who are also redhead and they're like, I didn't know I could wear pink. And I was like, well, you kind of got to just do what you want to do. And I want to wear sometimes bright pink lipstick. So I just have to, I get to, you know, anyway.
I love it.
Glad we got that handled.
This is good stuff.
Yeah. In case you wanted to order some, Andy, I'll send you the link directly.
Yeah. If you wouldn't mind just putting that link, we'll put it on Facebook too.
Yeah, great.
Okay, we've got a question from Andrea on Q&A. She said, I just started building the business I finished all of the Alice S calls. While this time social distancing, I'm sending out samples for an online class, but I haven't gotten much traction. Any tips? So samples are great. And I would just be wary of the ideology that that's the only way, that there is no other way. I've got over 500 diamonds on my team, and I would say maybe a third to a half have used sampling in a significant way. So anybody who tells you that it's the only way is probably trying to sell you something. I just wouldn't get too hung up on that. I would say samples are great, but focus on the person, focus on the individual. You know, everything we've talked about today about asking questions, that will get you a million miles further in getting into their world and like speaking to what their actual needs are than just sending samples so you can check that off of your list. Just get curious, right? Like, just talk to them and say, hey, I'm just curious. Like, what's coming up for you right now? Like, what are your biggest needs? What are your biggest, blocks or fears? Or, I mean, there's never been a better time to connect with people, because there's just a collective weirdness out there. Like, people are responding to the pandemic in so many different ways. And so we can show up and serve in that space and truly make a difference. So I guess I would just say, maybe they, maybe if they wanted a sample, then, you know, definitely be true to that. But I would just say the way to get traction is to know their needs and serve their needs. So that's how Natalie built her business. And that's the number one tip that I would give, and how all the top leaders have built their business is serving core needs. Tiff, anything on that?
No, thank you. I think that's really good.
I love it. Any final thoughts to take us home? Makeup tips?
Yeah. Follow my fashion blog. I'm just being asked again, what's the name of the program with the above code? It's called Sales Mastery Kit. Sales Mastery Kit, TiffanySpeaks.com. At checkout, you'll enter, again, Goddard's plural, all caps. Sorry,
I put
and it will come up at 50% off. Yeah, I love that. No, I think, thank you for being here today. I'm really, what I've loved about this dialogue, as I love every single week, there's always a gem that I get to, like, at least one, sometimes many, that I think, oh man, I'm so glad that came up. I needed that. And I think I just love the reminder about, again, can I be faithful to the process, right? And coming back to that and being in the experience, being on the field, doing the effort, right? And doing the things that nourish. There's a great quote by Robert Stevenson where he says, don't judge the day by the harvest you reap, yet rather judge the day by the seeds that you plant. And so when we talk about, like you're saying, follow up and persistence, and it is the key thing, right? And we talk about that and we think about all these different gems. It's just being aware. It's like, let's go plant some seeds today. Can we all do that together? Team Light, here we are. Put your hands in the center, right? You know, like Team Light, we're in, you know? And it's like, let's get this. Let's go like make some people's day. Let's ask some good questions. Let's show up to serve. Let's get after that follow-up list and see it as a way that, yes, it's a way that we're serving others. And again, we're going to lead with those questions, but I just love that reminder and coming back to like, oh, that's right. I got to be in the nourishing business and I'm going to keep following up and doing my part. When and how the harvest comes, I don't need to be focused on that or concerned about it, I should say. and we can focus on it, but we're focused on in the daily, like, oh, we're going to nourish, we're going to follow up. So thanks for being here, everyone. We sure believe in you, love you. We champion you and cheer you on. And we look forward to seeing you guys next week.
I love the quote. It's kind of a Jewish proverb that says, as my father's planted for me, so I plant for my children.
Mm.
So let's just take the gratitude of those who shared the chair with us and planted those seeds in us and turn around and plant for our children, right? Anyone who's coming after us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of gratitude to pay forward.
Yeah. So good. So rich. I love reading this chat box. Thanks everyone for being here, for being such positive people and being part of the good that's happening on the planet. We just love and appreciate and support you.
Have a great week and we'll see you next week.